Hey everyone, this is History You Actually Wanted to Know with Lady Billy Day. And today we're going to be talking about Queen Nefertiti. That name means a beautiful woman has come. It's a famous face of Egypt and it's extremely iconic. I'm sure you've seen her face before. But before you get into this episode, make sure you listen to Egyptian Mythology 101 with Professor Day and Season 1. So you get a little bit of background on like Egyptian gods and mythology. And she and her husband are mentioned in that episode as well. So let's get into it. You guys already know how I feel about Egypt. It's my favorite time period. I'm so excited. So let's get into this. This is History You Actually Wanted to Know with Lady Billy Day. With Queen Nefertiti, no one really knows her beginning or even who her parents were exactly. Just speculations. Or even if she was born in Egypt, I've heard that she was born in, East Asia, Syria. I don't know. I've heard everything. But like with most Egyptian history, there are a ton of theories and sometimes never really true facts. But the solid facts are is that she married at age 15 to Amenhotep IV, which is one of Egypt's famous pharaohs. And this was thought to be a love match. They're often depicted as holding hands, they're riding in chariots, kissing each other under the sun, which was not out of the ordinary for an Egyptian couple. They were really lovey-dovey, but for a pharaoh and his queen to be depicted that way in art is really, really different. So, of course, you know what I had to do. I had to do some research on what Egyptian family was like at the time and I guess what was expected of a man and a woman. So, typically with marriages, the man initiated the marriage around his early 20s. The girl was significantly younger, usually barely a teenager. Love wasn't necessary in a marriage. It usually didn't happen, but no one was forced to get married. It wasn't that deep. It was a personal decision. Usually the couple was given the option. Do you guys want to marry each other? Yes, no. Call it a day. And there was no real formal wedding ceremony with Egyptian couples. There was just a dowry that was agreed upon and she walked into the man's house and bam, she was married. Divorce was a possibility, which is a great thing. But I shouldn't say that. Divorce is not a great thing. You know, you should always make your marriage work out. But it's rare in ancient civilizations to have that, where a woman can have the possibility to make her own decisions regarding her marriage is probably what, that's what I mean. Anyway, divorce was a possibility. Within the divorce, the wife got a substantial amount of money in the divorce. If she was rich, she also got an alimony and was able to remarry. In Egyptian society, the children belonged to the wife, not the husband. So if the divorce happened, the children went with the mother and the father had no real authority over them. However, wives were encouraged to have multiple children because there was such a high infant mortality rate. But no one was really pressed on gender like in other civilizations where it's like a man is what you want, but nobody really cared. But couples could adopt. So that was super different. And if they couldn't have children, that was the way to go. Contraceptives were commonplace. So women could have control over their bodies, their menstrual cycles, things like that. But one of the grossest Egyptian history facts was that this always baffles me, but they would go and get crocodile poop and they would put it in their vaginas and that is how they would stop pregnancy. I would have to imagine the amount of infections was out of this world. It had to be. It literally had to be. It was poop. Women were respected in Egyptian society. Fidelity was expected on their part, but not of men, which was the norm back then. And polygamy was commonplace. Incest was also commonplace, but mainly in the royal family, not really with like commoners and regular people. And premarital sex wasn't as stigmatized. It still wasn't encouraged, but if it happened, it happened, that kind of thing. Now, let's take a small break in the middle of this episode so these wonderful ladies can tell you all about their podcast.
Once Upon a Time, a storytelling podcast. Ladies?
My name is Talia Smith, the host of Once Upon a Time, a storytelling podcast. On our show, we talk to historians, artists, podcasters, and creators from around the world about the stories that impact our lives. Join us for Once Upon a Time, a storytelling podcast, season 3, streaming on all platforms right now. Find us at A Storytelling Podcast on Instagram for more information.
Even though Nefertiti and Amenhotep were a love match, she was not his only wife. He had at least another 3, possibly, but Nefertiti was his absolute favorite. They ended up having a lot of children together, which is really sweet. But as you know, in history, rarely there are happy endings in ancient civilization. Nefertiti, she went on to work with her husband to create a huge religious revolution and movement. Basically, her husband decided, we're going to change from polytheism to monotheism, which meant that they were getting rid of gods like Amun-Ra, Osiris, stuff like that. And that's crazy because for years, those were their gods. It's like somebody telling you, like, oh, you can't worship so-and-so, I'm changing it up. Amenhotep encouraged the worship of only one god, and the god's name was Aten. And eventually they changed their names. Amenhotep changed his name to Akhenaten, which is the famous name now, meaning beneficial to Aten. And Nefertiti changed her name to work with me. Every time I say this name, it's just awful. Nefertiti changed her name to Nefertiti, meaning beautiful are the beauties of Aten, a beautiful woman has come. And they became completely encompassed with this new religion, like it was their main focus. They even moved the capital from Thebes to a new city. He created new temples, a new palace, gardens, things like that. He put all of his money, time, effort, everything into this new religion and creating this new capital. One of the best things about Akhenaten was that he believed that Nefertiti was his equal, at least in artistic depictions. A lot of times she's sitting at the same height as him. A lot of times in Egyptian art, the pharaoh is like regular size, but whoever his wife is like painted shorter than him or small, but they were painted at exactly the same height. Sometimes she even wore a pharaoh's crown. She was seen engaging in warfare and paintings and even worshiping Aten with her husband. The difference between Aten and a lot of the other gods that Egyptians were used to was that this god was not a human at all. He probably had human qualities, but it also wasn't like the famous gods like Amun-Ra, where they had animal tops and human bottoms. You can kind of like it to, what religion? It could be Christianity, Islam, where the one monotheistic deity is not a human, but they have human qualities like that. That was the same thing with Aten. And a lot of times, I believe that Aten kind of got his roots from the Israelites that were in Egypt at the time or something like that, like fashioning this Aten after something he saw there. But that's just my historical opinion. Anyway, the rays of Aten, the sun rays, because he was represented as a sun disk, the sun provided life and power to Earth. But on the other end, Akhenaten pissed off a lot of people, and he pissed them off because while he was creating his own temples and new capital, and it was devoted exclusively to Aten, he's also going around completely destroying and erasing the temples and anything that was devoted to the other gods, specifically Amun-Ra, who is a very, very, very important god. So that's going to start pissing people off. And there's no real understanding as to why he decided to go from polytheism to just one god. Like there's no writing or text as to why he just decided to do that. Maybe he just woke up one day and was like, we're going to have one God and that's it. Many people, like I said, weren't here for the change. They continued to worship the gods as they always had in their personal homes. And they were likely worshiping Aten for show more than anything, because who's going to want to not listen to their pharaoh, I guess? But on the bright side, this new capital was filled with innovation, things that were never seen before. New art, new architecture, things like that. So that's a good sign. But, you know, still people are not happy at all. There is a huge lack of enthusiasm for this new religion, lack of respect from the gods in their opinion, and Akhenaten paid little attention to his actual royal duties. So things like military and foreign policy, he didn't do anything with it. There was a lot of mismanagement on the ends of his, money mismanagement on the ends of his officials. And again, that's pissing people off. There's also a huge strain on the economy to fund this new city. Their allies are kind of dropping off, like Palestine, local principalities, Syria. There was no point in doing any business with them because they weren't contributing anything worthwhile. So they're losing their allies, pissing people off again. And there's a public health crisis in Amarna, which is the name of the new capital that Akhenaten founded. So in Amarna, there's a high infant mortality. Nutrition was terrible. Children weren't growing properly. People were literally drinking beer and living on bread. That was it. So people weren't growing. There was joint disease and mummies that were discovered in Amarna. A lot of times it was evidence of they had broken bones at one point in their life that healed over time. So a lot of people just were not doing well there. And in the midst of all of this chaos, Akhenaten dies mysteriously. In my humble opinion, I think he was murdered, because a lot of times when ancient civilizations don't like anybody, they just kill them off. So I think he got killed off, but mysterious circumstances. And Nefertiti also falls completely out of the histories, which is not uncommon in Egyptian history. Everything forward is mainly just speculation of what happened to her, because nobody really knows. So what are the theories on what happened to Nefertiti? The first theory is that she fell out of favor with her husband Akhenaten at some point during this big shift and was just living out her life without any real updates. Like, there was no need to write about her anymore if they weren't together. The second thing is that she had changed her name from Nefertiti to something else. I cannot pronounce the name and I'm not even going to try. She changed her name to something else so that she could rule alongside her husband. So that would be a reason why Nefertiti wouldn't come up anymore if she had legally changed her name. The third theory is that she began to completely rule in her own right after her husband had died, again under a new name. And when she died, her successor removed all evidence of her, which is extremely common in Egyptian mythology. Oh, that's not mythology, that's history. And it's fact, sorry. That's extremely common in Egyptian history, is that when a successor wants to eliminate any thoughts of those who came before them, they would literally scratch out their names on anywhere, anything, any document, their names would be scratched out. We're burning things that belong to them. We're demolishing any statues that were devoted to them, anything like that. So there could be a lot of figures in Egyptian history that we have no idea of because people were just, you know, eliminating their legacy. So that could have easily happened to her, and that's why we have no knowledge of her. So those are some of the theories that I know of, some theories that I found, but those are the biggest theories of what might have happened to her. Like I said, Nefertiti and Akhenaten did have children. They had a lot of girls and I think one boy, and their most famous child was Tutankhamun. But when his father died, he took the throne and changed his name to Tutan. Oh, I'm saying that all kinds of wrong. Tutankhamun, or most famously known as the Boy King. He eventually condemned his parents as heretics. And going forward, everybody thought that they were heretics. He rolled back all of their old actions, reinstated the old gods, moved the capital to Memphis, and started to put in place the old laws. Like, everyone after him just started kind of rebuilding. What? Rebuilding on what? Bah. I need to edit that out. Anyway, they just started rebuilding on top of what Nefertiti and Okay, I'm recording this in the middle of the night, and maybe I should have done this after I've had a good day's rest, but alas, here we are. Anyway, everyone that came after them tried to rebuild and restructure what Nefertiti and Akhenaten had done. So what was Nefertiti's legacy? Aside from the big update she did with her husband as far as Aten goes, who knows? Who really knows? Like, the most famous thing about her is the bust that is the one of the most famous faces in all of Egypt. Like, if you Googled Egyptian bust, I promise you that Nefertiti is going to come up. And the bust is believed to be Nefertiti. Is a beautiful woman. She's painted elaborately. She has a crown. The painting, like, her left eye is missing. And you think of Egypt, you think of her face. And it's just beautiful. However, she could have been ugly. And I'm not saying that she was. She probably was beautiful. But a lot of times in Egyptian history, they painted themselves a lot better than they actually were. For example, if you look at pictures of you can't even see pictures. Oh my God. If you see, wait, you can see pictures. What are you talking about? If you see a picture of how Akhenaten depicts himself, you know, he's very like stoic. He's a handsome looking guy, but a lot of theories have said that he had like deformities and stuff. And like, he probably didn't even look like that. So who knows what he looked like? A lot of times the Egyptians were ugly and they just decided, hey, I'm going to paint myself to look better. So anyway, but I still think she's probably beautiful. I do want to mention a predecessor of Nefertiti. And a lot of people have probably heard of her. Her name is Hatshepsut. And the way that they used to make us say her name in school was hot chicken soup. And if you say it really fast, you end up getting Hatshepsut. Hot chicken soup. Okay, now that doesn't work. Hatshepsut. Hot chicken soup. Bo. Anyway, with Hatshepsut, after her husband had died, she didn't immediately pass the throne onto her son Thutmose, or his son Thutmose, because I don't remember if it was her son or his son. Anyway, his son Thutmose. She just said, no, I'm going to rule. And she ruled as a man. She pretended to be a man. She used to wear men's clothes. She used to wear a fake beard. The statues that are seen of her that still exist show her with like masculine figures, big shoulders, like a little six pack thing going on. Similar to Nefertiti, when her husband's son Thutmose came to the throne, he got rid of her statue, scratched out her name in places. And again, nobody knows what happened to her other than that she died under mysterious circumstances, and like her boyfriend also died under mysterious circumstances. She probably got killed. I'm not even going to lie. She probably got killed. But anyway, I adore Nefertiti and Hatshepsut both for being really strong women to rule in their own right. I'm so sorry. My dog is barking. He's just the worst. I'm so sorry. I'm hoping you guys don't hear it. I'm looking at the little audio, and every time he barks it goes up. Hold on. Oh my God. Let me yell at my husband and tell him to tell Socks to shut up. All right, we're back. Hopefully my dog will not be barking anymore. Anyway, but I don't think this episode really did her justice, but there's so much that we don't know about her. But the things that we do know is that she's extremely courageous. She's literally doing things on her own. She has a husband that's going to support her doing things on her own. And I don't know why that sounds like, it makes it sound dumbed down, but for the time period, this is absolutely huge. Like, being able to do things that are normally done by a man, you're doing, especially that long. This is thousands of years ago. In my opinion, I think revolutionary actions tend to have the greatest impact over time, no matter how good or bad that they are. So I'm not really sure if I'm team Akhenaten in this whole changing thing, but who knows? I mean, I'm sure somebody liked it, but most people hated it. So yeah, I don't know. Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry, you guys. You probably hear my freaking dog. He knows I'm trying to do a podcast. I literally told him. Do you guys tell your pets things? Like when something important is going to happen and you're like, look, I have a big project at work coming. Like, I love you, dog or cat or ferret or lizard. And you just tell them like he knows I'm trying to do something and he's just barking. I just hate him. No, I don't. I love them both so much. We have two dogs, if you guys didn't know. But one of them is very quiet and just, you know, does his own thing. The other one just likes to make noise. It's like somebody that talks with absolutely nothing to say. That's him. That's literally him. Anyway, this is going on longer than I anticipated. Bah! Anyway, super excited to share this episode with you guys because Egypt holds a special place in my heart. And I think that's a song. Special place in her heart. Yeah, I definitely thought that was a song. Anyway, I have ensured that my podcast has gotten over 20 minutes because my husband told me that even if I'm not talking about history things, I should talk about something because nobody likes to listen to short podcasts. And then I thought to myself, like, I originally said that my episodes were going to be short because I always assume that people don't really like history, so just keep it short. But then I realized my shortest episodes had the least amount of listens, and my long episodes had the most amount of listens. So I was like, okay, I should probably make it more than 20 minutes. But anyway, I have gone significantly over time, and I'm rambling, and I think that's where my dog gets it from, just talking to talk. Oh, he got it from me, so maybe he's trying to be supportive. Oh, dogs, we don't deserve them. Oh, but anywho. I'm so happy to share this episode with you guys. Until next time, this is History You Actually Wanted to Know with Lady Billy Day. And let me hit you with the ASMR.